Morning. Today's daf is Zayin Beis. We're on Ayin Alpha Mud Beis. We're discussing the concepts of Tumah Blua and Tahara Blua. Credit goes to Rava for introducing us to these topics. Tumah Blua is as follows. Like our Mishnah, like we learned in yesterday's daf, you have Rachmanis, you have a stillborn inside of the mother. So the stillborn inside now is an Ava Tumah. It's an Avi Avosa Tumah. It's a mace. But while inside of the mother, however, the Tumah does not go out of the mother. The Tumah is going to be contained inside of the mother. And it's only going to be an Ava Tumah spreading only when it when it leaves the mother. The question which we could have asked yesterday, we're going to end up asking today, is that the Mishnah says that when the midwife puts her hand inside of the mother and touches the fetus, the midwife is going to become tamei because she came into contact with an Ava Tumah. I don't understand, it's Tumah Blua. The Tumah is inside of her right now, so it's not in a position where it can transmit Tumah. We're going to ask that question a little bit later on this morning, so stay tuned. The Gemara is going to be bothered by that. And there's also a contrasting scenario of Tahara Blua. Tahara Blua is the idea that when I have something that is not Tameh, but rather Torah, and it's inside of something, so it's going to be afforded the protection, and that person, that human being, is going to be able to protect and prevent any Tumah from being transmitted into the item inside of her.
Yeah, so that's not Blua.
The Gemara is going to go over numerous scenarios. So we're going to speak it out in just a short bit, okay? And so and yesterday in the daf, where do these concepts of Tumah Blua and Tahara Blua come from the Torah? So there's no pasuk that speaks to these ideas of Tumah Blua and Tahara Blua. So what Rava does is Rava constructs rayas. He doesn't construct the raya, but he forwards for us rayas. Probably that he heard from his own Rebbeim, but rayas in which we know that there's a concept of Tumah Blua and Tahara Blua. As far as the drasha, the source in the Torah for Tumah Blua, so the Gemara yesterday recited the following. Somebody eats a Nivlas Of Tahor, the carcass of a kosher bird that was not shechted. So we know that a person that eats that is going to become Tamei once the Kezias goes into the Beis Abliya, once it goes down his throat. And what the Gemara, what Rava noted yesterday was, imagine that he ate it right before Shkia. He ate it right before Shkia, and let's give him 5 minutes. 5 minutes before Shkia, he ate it. Now he himself contracted the Tumah. Then what do you need in order to be Matar yourself? You tov on the mikvah. You experience Erev Shemesh. So 10 minutes later now, he went to the mikvah. I went from 5 to 10. What just happened? So within the 5 minutes, he toveled in the mikvah, he experienced Erev Shemesh sunset, and now he's tahor. And now what? But still, the nevela is still in his throat, and it's only been 5 minutes later. You can easily say that there's been no digestion of the nevela. Why isn't the nevela that's still in his throat going to be giving him, to be mitami him? And the answer is because of Tumah Blua. That's a raya for Tumah Blua. Okay, the Gemara discussed a little bit more. It gets a little bit more involved, but that is succinctly stated the source of, in the Torah, of Tumah Blua. What about Tahara Blua? So the Gemara says, for that, we're going to make a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer going to be based on? Kli Cheres. Now, what do we know by Kli Cheres? Kli Cheres is a protective environment. If, let's say, the Kli Cheres is sealed, and there's something that's Tahor in the Kli Cheres, and that Kli Cheres is in an Oel HaMeis, it's under sharing the same roof that a mace is underneath. So the contents of the Kli Cheres are not going to become tummy. So in other words, Kli Cheres is able to afford protection for that which is inside of the Kli Cheres. So the Gemara says, now if that's true for a Kli Cheres, so for sure it's going to be true for a human being. And how's the Kavachoma work? The Gemara said yesterday. Because imagine, a Kli Cheres cannot contain tumah from going out, but it can provide protection from tumah from coming in. A human being, is able to contain tumah on the inside, for sure is able to give a protection to prevent tumah from coming inside and being mitami something that's inside of him. Good, that's the Kavachama that the Gemara said yesterday regarding Tahara Blua. With that stated, let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. The Gemara continues, Ashkechan Balua de la Mala. So we are on Ayin Alpha Mud Beis. We're about 5 lines from the top of the Amud, 6 lines down. It's the third word in the line. The line starts with the words Metame Me Aviro. Continues the Gemara, Ashkechan Balua de la Mala, Balua de la Mata Minala. Okay, good. So now we have these concepts of Tuma Balua. Now remember, the source for it was the person who ate the Nivlas Of Tahor. So in doing so, so we've just established that there is an idea of Tuma Balua when it goes into the front part of your digestive tract. So now that it's encased inside of you in your digestive tract, but at the front end, meaning the mouth, so and the throat. So we have now established Tuma Balua. What if we go in through the other side of the GI tract? So now, how do I know that if, let's say, someone got some sort of, what's it called? I mean, so many modern examples, but I'm, yeah, but I don't know, an old example. Okay, but anyway, some sort of enema, whatever the case is. But so, in other words, something came in through the other side of the GI tract. So Ashkechan Balua Delamala Balua Delamata Minala Kavachomer. So the Gemara says, well, I think the argument goes very strong. Mala mala sheinosin equal matzil lemata sheose equal einodin shematzil. Look, when you're putting something down your throat and it's in the esophagus, it's not yet digested. Digestion, of course, occurs over the GI tract. And, right, digestion really starts in the stomach and then in the intestines. And so if in the first part of the GI tract, your throat and your esophagus, where digestion doesn't really occur, and there we say Tuma Balua, that's afforded protection. So if you go down later into the GI tract, where there's real digestion that takes place, so for sure it should be Tuma Balua. Now, you remember that Rashi yesterday, when giving a svara of Tuma Balua, I quoted the Rashi yesterday, Rashi's the second wide line of the Amud Aleph. So Rashi says that as far as Tuma Balua is concerned, what's the svar behind it? Mikaven shenivla'a hare kimu'ukelas. Since it's so absorbed in the body, it's like it's digested. Now, keep in mind, by the way, it's easy to hear that regarding food. It's much harder to hear that regarding a fetus inside the mother. Meaning, and I tried this yesterday, and with degrees of success, mostly unsuccessful. But to try to explain this svar within the context of a fetus, it's really difficult. But anyway, the idea is of the Gemara is that the more digested it is, so the more it's going to be afforded the protection. So someone, just give me a moment. So when something goes in through the rear, so there the Gemara says there's more digestion, and therefore it's more subject to Tuma Balua. To which the Gemara says, Ashkechan Balua Delamala, we read that. So Eino Din Shiatzo Klum Ose Iko Lamata Ela Ayide Mala. So the Gemara now goes over the physiology and the anatomy. Gemara says, look, you know how digestion works? In other words, digestion works only when it goes in through the mouth and then gets to the end. But if you put something directly into the rear, so that doesn't create digestion. So afilo hachiiko delamata rav. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, I'm with you, but still there is some digestion that occurs in the end, and so therefore Tuma Balua would be true both at the front end of the GI tract and the back end of the GI tract. Why is the Gemara only so focused on the GI tract as opposed to anything else? So, I mean, I guess just practically speaking, that's where things go inside of a body and come out of a body. Meaning, keep in mind, by the way, that in our Mishnah, we're talking about a fetus and a uterus. That's obviously a different anatomy of the body. Okay, but still, the idea is that once something is contained and absorbed in the body, so therefore it's subject to this principle of Tuma Balua. Yes?
Tuma Balua Lomala, where it starts, that's where it creates Tuma.
That's where it creates Tuma. We're talking about Tuma. Right.
If you got it in some past the base ablia, it didn't touch the base ablia, it's not Tuma.
Presumably, you're right. I hear you. I definitely hear you. Ashkechan Balua de Adam, Balua de Behema Minalan. Now we have established the concept of Tuma Balua as it relates to a human being. What about an animal? And is it true by an animal as well? Kavachomer. So the Gemara says, look, I think the argument is very strong. Look, when it comes to a human is subject to becoming Tameh, both internally and externally. Let me say it correctly. A human is subject to becoming Tuma both when he's alive and post-mortem. In other words, a human can even be a recipient of Tuma while he's alive. So we are more sensitive to Tuma. We have more exposure to Tuma. And meanwhile, we can afford the protection for Tuma Balua. Animals who are only subject to Tuma after they're dead, either via nevela or by ochel, But in other words, but there's no tumma on animal while the animal's alive. An animal's simply impervious to tumma while the animal's alive. So if a human, which is more sensitive to tumma, can afford the protection for tumma balua, so for sure an animal who can't even become tumme while alive is for sure going to be providing the protection. So the Gemara says, "Ein din shetasba balua ma'al adam shekein tzarich shehiya bebeis manuga tumra bebehima shein tzricha shehiya bebeis manuga." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but you're telling me that there are that a person is so much more chamer, is so much more sensitive to tumma. I can find an area in halacha, albeit it is an area that we don't go over that often throughout Shas, but an area in halacha where a person has a leniency regarding tumma that an animal does not have, and that is specifically the shihiya, the delayed tumma when walking into a house of tzaras. Now the halacha is that when you walk into the house of tzaras, so you and your clothing are not going to become tumme immediately, but rather only after a certain pause time. What is that delay time? We're going to go over that in just a moment. And the Gemara says this is true by humans, it's not true by animals. So you're telling me that we're constructing a kal v'chomer by humans to animals. Humans are much more chomer when it comes to tumma. Animals are much more kal. Animals don't become tummy when they're alive. They only become tummy after they're dead. Okay, but this halacha of shihiya applies to humans, and it does not apply to animals. It's a kula regarding humans as opposed to animals. So the Gemara says, and animals, behema de'enetzri chashia, bebeisa amanuga lamayilchasa. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's even work with this line of reasoning. We're talking now about the shihiya, about the delayed tumma. That's for what? So lekelim sha'al gabam, adamnami lo bayi. So the Gemara says we're talking about when an animal goes in. Now I know that it's been popular for years, you know, to dress up your animals and to give them. Even back in the day, even before it was like fashionable, like, you know, it was cold, so you put something on the animal, you know, something to wear, some form of clothing. But the Gemara's assumption right now is that an animal is not wearing clothing. Whatever an animal is wearing is caring. In other words, it's the caring of clothing. You know, it's interesting. In Hilchos Shabbos, by the way, by caring by an animal, we don't necessarily say this. Meaning we assume that there are certain things for an animal which is not hotzah, which is not caring. But here, in terms of tumah tahara, we're going to assume that whatever the animal is carrying, meaning not wearing. Now, the Gemara says, now let's take this very same idea and apply it to a human when he walks into the Beis Taras. What's the halacha? The halacha is there's no delay. How do I know that? No, it's a Mishnah. Mishnah Negayim. The Mishnah says, "Anichnas beis hamanuga bekelav aktefav." A person walks into the house of Taras and he's got clothing on his shoulder. V'sandalav tabasabiyado. So the halacha is that when you're carrying clothing, not wearing it, when you're carrying the clothing, there's no delayed tumma. Tumma occurs immediately. And then, however, if you're wearing the clothing, you're wearing the shoes, you're wearing your rings, so hu tamei miyad, you become tamei immediately. However, hein taharin ad sheyishe bechtei achilas pras. However, the clothing do not become tame until the delay. How long is the delay? The amount of time it takes to eat a half of a loaf of bread. And over here, in other words, remember, back in the day, so time was always spoken in terms of not hours and minutes and seconds, but in terms of how long it takes to do something, right? How long does it take to walk a mill? How long does it take to eat a half loaf of bread? So good. So the amount of time that it takes to eat, kidei achilas pras. Now, the Gemara over here is very specific in terms of what kind of bread. Paschitav la pasa orim, wheat bread, not barley bread. Mesav ocha b'liftan, eaten with a condiment. And apparently, when you eat it with a condiment, you eat it a little bit faster, because, quite frankly, tastes a little bit better. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara has arrived at the conclusion of the discussion. The point is that when it comes to this delay tumma, there really is no chumra and kula as it relates to humans versus animals. Yes, it's true when it comes to a human, for the clothing that he wears when he goes into the Beis HaTzara'as. So it's true that for the clothing there will be a delay tumma. But for the clothing that he carries, there's no delay in the tumma. For an animal, every time he walks into the Beis HaManuga, he's carrying the clothing. And therefore there's no delay. So really, vis-a-vis, if we're leveling the playing field between humans and animals, it's the same thing. And so there's no longer a kula and a chumra regarding this particular halacha, And so the Gemara says, so our Kavachomer now works out as a very good Kavachomer. We've just established now, this is really the end of yesterday's daf, we've just established now that vis-a-vis the halachas of Tuma Blua and Tara Blua, so Rabba now has given us sources for both of them. One comes from the Tuma Blua comes from the argument of eating a Nivlas of Tara immediately before Harav Shemesh, and Tovaling and experiencing Harav Shemesh right before and 10 minutes later, even though the item is still in your throat, but it's Balua, and therefore it does not transmit the Tumah. As far as Tahara is concerned, Tahara Balua, that when something's inside of you, it is afforded protection. So to that, the Gemara says, Rabba says, the source for that is an argument, a Kavachomer from Kli Cheres. Good. And now the Gemara is going to be bothered. Amar Rava. We are now continuing in the Gemara. We are about 8-9 lines from the bottom on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Amar Rava Tarvai Teninu. So Rava is bothered by the following. Thank you very much, Rava. We really appreciate everything that you've done for us. But everything that you've said over here is Mishnayos. Tuma Blua is a Mishnah. Tahara Blua is also a Mishnah. Now, to be fair and to be honest, I don't fully understand now what the Gemara is bothered by. Meaning, Rabba with the hay. Rabba wasn't providing us a source vis-a-vis Psukim in the Torah. In other words, he was giving arguments in terms of where it's coming from. The Mishnayos that we're about to see together, they're just simply Mishnayos that give us examples of these concepts of Tuma Blua and Tahara Blua. So to be fair, I'm not really sure what really the strength of the kasha is, but the Gemara says, but there are already Mishnayos. Maybe he's bothered by the fact that Rabba is not crediting the Mishnayos or not citing the Mishnayos. But again, Rabba is not really there to give us the examples. He's giving really there to give us the makoros. So I'm just being fully honest. I don't fully understand the strength of the question, but okay. Amar Rava Tarvai Taninu. Tuma Blua Tanina, Tara Blua Tanina, and we have Mishnayos for both. And the Mishnayos for both are actually both found in Mishnayos and Mikvos. We're in the 10th perek of Mikvos. Right? You know, by the way, that we're in the heart of Tuma Tahara when we're quoting Mishnayos this morning from Negayim, from Mikvos. Okay, things we don't see in the daf. So, Tuma Blua Dinan Bala Tabas Tamea. Let's say a person were to have swallowed a ring, and the ring came into contact with a mace. Okay? Rashi, Tosfos, both are of the opinion that this particular ring in question came into contact with Tumas Mace. Tumas Mace, by the way, if we're talking about a metal ring, which we are, so we know what the halach is when metal comes into contact with a mace. So, right? Cherev Harei Kuchalal. That when the sword goes in, the sword plunges into the body, so the metal sword is going to have the same status as the body itself. The body is going to be an avi avos atoma. The body is an avi avos atoma, so is the metal as well. So if this ring came into contact with a mace, so therefore it's an avi avos atoma in any respect. So what happens is that the person swallowed the ring. It's happened. So the person swallowed the ring. Now granted, by the way, that when it went into his mouth, so it came into contact with him before, unless someone, you know, shoved it, you know, right down his throat. But we could just simply say that it maybe did come into contact with him before it went in. And so, but fine. So, but he went through the process of paraduma, shivas yamim, tovel did the mikvah, fine. So tovel v'ochel, in fact, the Mishnah says he toveled. Tovel v'ochel b'chumaso. So he can now tovel, and again, assuming that's Tumas Mace, so it'll be now, not for a week later, but still, a week from now, after going through the Tahara process, so he can enjoy Truma. Meaning, even though he's got a metal ring sitting in his GI tract, somewhere in his GI tract, and I know, by the way, for a week, that's okay. Doesn't usually hang out that long, but okay. Anyway, but even though he's got a metal Tame ring in his GI tract, it does not matter. He is not Tame. And so over here, you have a clear presentation of the idea of Tuma Blua. Now, imagine Hekio Tameya v'Tim'aso Tahara. I'm sorry. Hekia Tameya v'Tim'aso. So as far as now, when he spits it up, it is going to be Metamehim upon its emergence. Okay, good. So this is a clear mission that speaks to the idea of Tuma Blua. And now, continuing along, Tara Blua Tanina. As far as the idea of Tara Blua, We don't have to go that far. We stay in the same Mishnah in Mikvos. Didnan. Tabas tahara. So here, once again, you swallow the ring. The ring happens to be tahor in this example. V'nichnas olal ames, and you go into an olal ames. V'hiza v'shina v'tava v'ikarei k'mash aisa. And so, even though the ring was inside of you when you went, into the tumasa, when you went into the olal ames, but you at the time, the ring was already ingested and in your body. You are providing protection. You are containing and protecting the ring from becoming tummy. Even though you yourself are tummy, and you yourself have to go through the process of paraduma. But if it's a week later, after you have now gone through the process of tahara, and now the ring comes out of you, so the halacha is, the ring is tahor. So, what is going on over here vis-a-vis, Rabbi, what have you shared with us? The ideas of tuma blua and tahara blua? Look at those mishnayos that we just learned together. So the Gemara says, "Ki kama rabba kagon shabal shei tabaos achas tamei avachas tahora dola metamila mitamea l'tahora." So the Gemara says like this: Rabba is providing a chiddush. In fact, if all we had were just the mishnayos that we just cited, the truth of the matter is, here's what we could have said: when the tamei ring is inside of you, so it's not going to affect anything outside. When the tahor rings inside of you, you're going to contain and protect it so that it doesn't become tummy. But that in of itself may be ideas and concepts that are not so much contingent on tuma blua and tahara blua. It just simply may be a halacha in terms of where it's placed right now and its ability to transmit it elsewhere. But what Rabbah is introducing us to when he says the ideas of tuma blua and tahara blua is that when the tummy rings inside of you, when the tahara rings inside of you, there simply can be no transmission whatsoever. Even if they're inside of you at the same time, and the two rings are touching one another, and you're hearing, I know this is so bizarre, you're hearing the clinking of the rings inside of you, and you know that the tummy ring and the tahara ring touched one another. Even if they touch one another, the idea of tuma blua and tahara blua are such strong ideas, and this is the chiddush of Rabba, is that there is simply no transmission of tuma inside of a human body. That is the concept that Rabba is trying to introduce us to, and that is a chiddush that the Mishnahs by themselves are not providing. The Gemara says, interesting. Now the Gemara says, as long as we're saying that, as we now turn to Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, now the Gemara is going to ask a question. I foreshadowed this question at the beginning of Shir. Go over the Mishnah we learned in yesterday's daf. The Mishnah had a stillborn inside of the mother. Rachmanus. The fetus was dead inside of the mother. So the fetus now is tuma blua. Fine. And what did the midwife do? The midwife inserted her hand into the womb of the mother. And as a result of that, what happens? She becomes tame. And now, based on the chiddush that we just learned together, that when something is inside, there's simply no transmission, period. So if there's no transmission, period, so not only is the mother who is carrying the dead fetus not going to become tame, but the midwife who put her hand inside also should not be tame. There simply is no transmission of tuma inside of the mother. How did you understand the Mishnah? It's a strong question.
No, the hand is not independent. It's attached to the body.
But still, the contact is...
If somebody touches a tuma with a hand, just the hand, there's no whole body.
The tuma's inside, the hand's inside.
No, but the body is...
I hear...
My hand can't be...
Okay, so the Gemara's going to suggest that. Okay, so let's see all this inside. So the Gemara says, well, this is not just simply tuma blua, but tuma blua where we know its trajectory. It's going to exit and emerge out of the mother. This is what's called sofa latzeis, tuma sofa latzeis. And so therefore, because of what we know is going to happen, we don't have to be Nostradamus. This is just simply the reality of life. It's going to exit her body. And as such, so therefore, we're going to be saying that this is not going to be afforded the protection. The Gemara says, Amarava, Uber Sofalatseis Tabai and Sofalatseis? Really? So the fetus is going to leave the mother. So I got news for you about the ring that you ingested. It's going to come out, right? One way or another. I know earlier the Gemara discussed how it came out through the mouth, but it's going to come outside of you. It's not going to remain inside. And over there we said tuma blua, and there's no transmission of tuma. So the Gemara immediately rejects this answer. The Gemara does not like it. Elam Rava Pumbedisa Yadai Taima Dahamilsa. So Rava says credit goes to the Yeshiva Pumbedisa. They understand these klalim very well. Umanda Rav Yosef, and by the way, when we say Pumbedisa, we're talking about specific Rav in Pumbedisa, Rav Yosef. Dam Rav Yosef, Am Rav Yehuda, Am Shmuel, and Rav Yosef says it over. B'shem Rav Yehuda says it over in Shmuel. Tumazu einu midivrei Torah ela midivrei sofrim. When the midwife puts her hand inside of the mother and touches the dead fetus inside of the mother, she is tamei not midaraisa, but only midarabanan. And so, therefore, the kasha has been answered because min haTorah it's tuma blua, and even though Sof Halat says that doesn't matter. While inside, there is simply no transmission of tuma from one item to another. And so when the midwife touches it, min haTorah, she is not tameya, the midwife. So, but as a din derabanan, give me a moment, as a din derabanan, so she is going to be tameya. So my name is Divrei Torah, my Divrei Sofrim, delo tema aliba de Rabbi Kiva d'amar, uber b'meisha tameh. And the Gemara says, and why was that important to stress? Because as we're going to see in just a moment, this is not a davar hamuskam. Not everybody agrees with this idea that the dead fetus inside of her is not going to be communicating, conveying tuma. As we'll see in just a moment, the Shita Rabbi Akiva is that it is that she will be tameh on a daraisa level. We'll see Rabbi Kiva in just a moment. So the Gemara says, "Alafila Rabbi Shmuel Damar Uber Memeisha Tahor." But even when we subscribe to Rabbi Shmuel and our Mishnah subscribing to Rabbi Shmuel, Gazru Batuma Midrabanan. Still, there was a Gzer Durabanan on the midwife. My Taima. Now, why? I'm Ravoshi Gzer Shema Yotzi Vlad Rosho Chusapuzdor. Because obviously, what's the purpose of the midwife being there? She's being there in order to help deliver the baby. So her deliverance of the baby means that in the process of her helping the pregnant mother, the baby is going to emerge. And so now, clearly, there's going to be a point in time where the head is going to emerge, and now it's no longer Balua. So because the Chachamim recognize the situation, so therefore they said that she is going to be Tamei Midrabanan the moment she makes contact with the baby, even though the baby's inside, even though we have the concept of Tuma Balua, and Min HaTorah she is not Tameya. But the Chachamim understood, however, that this is a gzera that of tuma that is going to be enacted by the Chachamim to protect her, and with the understanding and eventuality that the baby's head is going to emerge. Ihach isha nami. So the Gemara says, what about the mother who is actually hosting the baby, the expecting mother? Why don't we make a gzera derabanan for her? The Gemara says, isha margeshes batzma. The mother knows when the baby's head emerges. In other words, she is the one who is carrying the baby. Vitema. La lechaya treat v'temala. The Gemara says, so why don't we then ask the mother to tell the midwife at what point in time the head has emerged? So the Gemara says, treat. Because the Gemara says that in delivery, she may be a slightly preoccupied with the actual delivery, so that it won't be first on her mind to let the midwife know, okay, now the head has emerged, and now you are going to be tummy. Okay. So the Gemara now has just concluded that when the midwife inserts her hand into the mother, as long as you subscribe to the idea of tuma blua, so the min haTorah, the midwife herself, is not tame, because the contact that she's having with the stillborn is in utero, and therefore there is no communication of tuma from the dead fetus over to the midwife. And even though the Mishnah says that the midwife is tameya, as we now learned in the Gemara, that is a tuma derabanan as a result of gzera chachamim. Continuing the Gemara, my Rabbi Shmuel, my Rabbi Kiva. Now, we just kind of threw out there that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel are debating these issues. And the Gemara says, let's go over the actual machlokas. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes it from a brisa. In order for tuma to be transmitted from one to another, it has to be a penei hasada. By the way, second time in our perek that we're using the word sada over here as an idea of exposure. It has to be open and exposed. Earlier, we learned in the context of a different area of halacha regarding the limb of the animal protruding, but just interesting. Sada plays such an interesting role in halacha. So over here, in order for tumah to be communicated from one to another, it has to be al pnei sada. Let's see, uber b'meisha de Rabbi Shmuel. And this is opposed to an uber b'meisha where it's not exposed, it's not al pnei hasada, and as a result of that, there's no transmission of tumah. Rabbi Kiva Amar l'Rabbah's Gol of a Dofeg. Rabbi Kiva says no. The drushas over here, al pnei hasada, has nothing to do with tumah b'lua, but rather, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's coming to teach us halachas of Gol of a Dofeg. What are Gol of a Dofeg? So, seemingly from Rashi, you read the Rashi inside, the short Rashi is Daf Shenoslim B'tzido is the Dofeg, the Golal, sorry for reading the Rashi's out of order. Golal is the Kisu Aaron Shalmeis, right, the lid on top of the Aaron, the side of the coffin, so, right, what about the bottom of the coffin? But anyway, basically the coffin. And according to Rashi, the Chiddush is of Rabbi Akiva, that the Gol of a Dofeg are themselves going to be the same status as the mace. Meaning that the mace is the Navi Avos HaTumah, and so is the Gol of the Dofik, so are the sides of the coffin as well, and the top of the coffin. Rabbi Shmuel, Gol of the Dofik, Hilchasa Gemirila. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't disagree, but disagrees in terms of the source. It's not coming from the drasha of Al Pnei Asada, but rather it's coming from Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Rabbi Akiva, Uber B'meisha, Tamei Medaraisa, Minale. Now, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, so the Uber B'meisha is in fact a source of Tumah, even while in utero. So, Amar Rabbi Yoshi, Amar Kron, Hanogea B'meis B'nefesh. So, the Pasuk says, Hanogea B'meis B'nefesh. And similar to the drashas that we said earlier in the Perek. What does that mean, B'meis B'nefesh? A mace that's in a nefesh, meaning Rachmana, the stillborn, is inside of the mother, and while inside, still while inside, Hanogea, when you come into contact with it, you're going to be Tameh. Ezu Mesha benefesh shel Adam, Haviyamar ze uber shemei meisha. As far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, Rabbi Shmuel haimi baile, le revias dama bamina mace, shemetameh. Rabbi Yishmael takes this pasuk and learns it for the halacha of revias dam. Revias dam. Right, a quarter of a log of blood that comes off of a mace is going to be a av hatumah, is going to be a source of tumah. Shenamar nogeh b'mace b'nefesh ha'adam. So when you touch the mace, which represents nefesh ha'adam, ezu nefesh ha'adam, shemetame havei omer zu revias dam, and they specifically referring to a revias adam, which the Gemara categorizes consistently as being that which is able to support a nefesh of a human being. Now, as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, the revias dam doesn't have to come from one mace. You can have an aggregate total of a revias from more than one mace, two mesim, and still that's going to be an avatuma. D'tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer. Minayin l'reviyas dam haba mishnei mesim shemetame bol shenemar va'al kol nefashos mes lo yavo shtei nefashos v'shir echad. It's shtei nefashos, it's one shir. So according to Rabbi Kiva, even if the blood is coming, the reviyas blood is coming from two nefashos, so that's still going to be an avatuma. And that is the back and forth, the give and take between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel regarding how to darshan these psukim. Comes out obviously from the conclusion that Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel and our Mishnah vis-a-vis the halacha of tumah b'lua. Meaning our Mishnah and Rabbi Shmuel clearly have the opinion that when the dead fetus is inside of the mother, there is simply no transmission of tumah, period. And so that means that the hosting mother is not going to be tumah. The midwife who puts her hand inside also is not going to be tumah. The Mishnah is just teaching us a din d'rabbanan, a gzera d'rabbanan. But min ha-Torah, we have the idea, the concept of tumah b'lua. Rabbi Akiva certainly disagrees. To what degree does Rabbi Akiva disagree? That part's not perfectly clear. Rabbi Akiva says that you're nogea b'meis b'nefesh. That when you touch the meis b'nefesh, seemingly Rabbi Akiva is talking about the midwife putting her hand inside of the mother and touching the stillborn inside. What about the mother herself? Would Rabbi Akiva disagree regarding the mother herself? That part I'm not sure about. Okay, fine.
Which is the accepted view when this happens, when the Mishnah says something and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon says something else?
Yeah.
So Rabbi Akiva is accepted usually, you know?
I don't have a claw for you. I'm sorry. Okay. We continue now in the Gemara. We're in Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah, and continuation now regarding, we're back to animals. Okay, and we're back now to the to the flow, and specifically that of the fourth parak, Behema Makasha Lele, where it's been the that's been the sing-song presentation of every one of these mishnayos, where the animal itself is having difficulty delivering. Right, that was the opening. That was the opening mishnah as well, going all the way back to Samaches Amud Aleph. Behema Hamakasha Lele. So the animal struggling now in delivering its baby, and Vahotzi Ubers Yado. And what happens now is that one of the limbs protruded. Again, it's like the first Mishnah, but obviously over here, this Mishnah is to teach us a new point, which is the following. V'chatcha. And now, as the Aver now is extending outside, so the one who is now trying to shech the mother, so before shechting the mother, cuts off the limb. V'achar kach shechet is imo. And then afterward, shechs the mother. Habasar tahor. So the basar is in fact going to be tahor. So the bus is going to be tahor. The behema itself is not mekabel tuma while it's alive, and even though the limb that was cut off is now itself going to be is going to be an avatama, but by virtue of the fact that it touched the animal, it doesn't matter. Meaning, because the animal's alive, and as we discussed earlier this morning, animals while alive are impervious to tuma. They're simply not going to be mekabel tuma. Okay. However, let's go one step further. Let's say shachad es imo v'acharka chatcha. But let's say like this. All right, let's go over the sequence very clearly. The mother is having difficulty delivering, and so our goal right now is to shech the mother. The fetus protruded one of its arms outside the mother. Now with a protruded limb of the fetus. So now we shech the mother. And then after we shech the mother, then we cut the limb off. But we cut the limb off after shechita, which means that the mother now is dead. So v'achar kachatcha, habasar maga nevela, divrei Rebbe Meir. V'chachamim omrim, maga trefa shechuta. What is the status, tumat tahara wise, regarding that limb, which was connected to the fetus during the shechita of the mother? Okay. I know it's a lot to process. I know. But in other words, what is the status of that limb regarding tumat tahara? Let's think this through. The fetus that's inside, as we've already established and said over numerous times since the beginning of this perek, so the fetus inside is mutter bachila, right? In other words, it's part and parcel of the mother. It's ba behema. And so the fetus inside, aside from the fact that it's not going to be tamei, but it's, you can even eat it. The problem, of course, is that there's a limb that did not benefit from the shechita. That limb was outside of the mother. And as we learned in the beginning of the perek, it is now, it's going to be treif. But aside from it being treif, it didn't experience shechita. So if it didn't experience shechita, so what do we call any part of an animal that died that did not experience shechita? We call it an avela. But it's weird, though, because to call that limb an avela, but we can't ignore the fact that the limb is connected to the rest of the fetus that was inside the mother that did experience shechita. So to call that limb an avela is a little bit strange. So what are we going to call that limb? So that the Mishnah brings down now is a machlokes satanayim. Rebbe Meir says, we're going to call the limb an avela. The limb was outside. The limb did not get to benefit from the shechita at all. And so therefore the limb outside is an avela. I now, the dead animal that's touching this limb, you know what that dead animal is now? Maga nevela. It comes into contact with nevela. Nevela is an avatama. So the animal that touches it right now is going to be a rishon l'tuma. That is the shita of Rav Meir. Masha Enkin, according to the Chachamim, no. The limb outside is treif, but it's connected to the fetus, and the fetus is inside the mother, and the mother was shechted, and the fetus therefore has the status of being shechted. So the limb, even though outside and even though treif, you know what it's like? It's like a treif that you shechted. What happens? Give me a second. What happens when you shecht a treifa? I'll tell you what happens when you shecht a treifa. You can't eat the animal, but the animal is now no longer nevela. Meaning, in the very least, shechita is able to provide and afford for an animal that's a treifa is prevented from becoming a nevela. You can't eat it. Good, you can't eat it. But it's not a nevela. So over here, the Chachamim say same thing regarding the limb. The limb that's outside of the mother, even though it didn't benefit from the shechita vis-a-vis, you can't eat it, But nevertheless, what have we described it? We described it earlier as a trefa. So good. So it's a trefa shchuta. And then what is the animal that came into contact with it? It's maga trefa shchuta, which otherwise stated, maga trefa shchuta, that's a fancy way of saying it's tahor. It's not tamek. Yeah, man.
Why isn't that cut off limb considered Erev
Minachai? No, it was after. No, you cut it off after you shechted it. There are two cases in the Mishnah. The first case in the Mishnah is I cut it off before Shechita. Good, that's you. The second case, which we're discussing right now, is I cut it off after I shechted it. Okay, now.
The position of Chachamim is in the middle. It's either Shechita done something or didn't do something.
The
affected the child.
I can argue both sides. In fact, I don't have to do any of the work. The Mishnah is going to be doing all the work for us. So we'll see the Mishnah inside in terms of arguing both positions. The Mishnah now, as we continue, we're on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and this is a long Mishnah. But the Mishnah over here is really the back and forth between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. We get this every now and then. Sometimes the Mishnahs are just rat-tat-tat, just simply saying over halachas one after another. And sometimes the Mishnah treats us to a little bit of dialogue between the Tanaim. So the Chachamim say, look, this is what happens every single time you shecht a trefa. The trefa, obviously, you can't eat, but the shechita is there to prevent it from becoming an avela. Same thing over here, that we should at least allow the shechita to be serving for the limb that's outside. The limb outside, we can't eat. Good, we can't eat it. But it was connected to the fetus that was inside the mother that received the shechita. So in the very least, the limb should be a trefa shechuta. Amalem Rabbi Meir lo. And Rabbi Meir's rejection over here of the argument goes like this. No. Im tiara shechitas trefa, osa davar shegufa titahir is a aver. Davar she'inu gufa, titahir is a aver, davar she'inu gufa. So over here, Rav Meir's response is as follows. I understand where you're shechting an animal, and the animal itself is a trefa. And I'm shechting the animal itself. So there you want to tell me that the shechita is there to provide and serve so that the animal doesn't become a nevela. The shechita is preventing the animal from becoming a nevela. I can hear that. But over here, the limb is outside of the mother. The limb is outside of the mother. So you know what shechita is there to provide? Shechita is there to provide for the animal itself. The fetus inside the animal, that's part of the animal, that's ba behema. But the limb that's outside, that's chutz, it's not in the animal anymore. Don't tell me that the shechita is there to be able to help the limb that's currently outside of the mother, that's chutz. Good. That's Rav Meir's counter-argument. Now the Gemara says, now it's interesting. You know, there's a disagreement between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, but before they get to the disagreement, there's obviously a point of agreement. What is the point of agreement? That if you shecht a trefa, the animal is not an avela. And the Gemara says, you know, that's interesting. Like, how do we even know that? Like, what's the source of that? And the Mishnah now treats us to this halacha. Minayin l'trefa sheshchita sometaraso. So the Gemara says, and how do I know altogether that if you have an animal which is treif, you shecht it, and it's not going to be an avela? And the Gemara says, and before you answer me my question, let's all consider together. Behema tamea asura b'achila, av treif asura b'achila. Look, if I have a non-kosher species, can't eat it. If I have a trefa, hagam, can't eat it. Now, what happens if you shecht the behema tamea, a non-kosher animal? Did you stop it from becoming an avela? No. So ma behema tamea ain shechita sematarasa av trefa lo titarena shechita. So even before you give me your answer, the question over here is really strong. You know, if you shecht a non-kosher animal, you know what happens? Nothing. It becomes a nevela. The shechita didn't prevent it from becoming a nevela. Now that I have a trefa, I can't eat a trefa, and the shechita is not going to allow me to eat it. So why doesn't it not become a nevela? It should become a nevela, just like a behemoth tamea. Good. That's the question. It obviously demands an answer, because we know the conclusion is that a shechita is in fact going to prevent a trefa from becoming a nevela. But the question is strong. But why? So lo. Well, the Gemara, no. It was a trefa before you shechted it. Let's assume that you know that it was a trefa after. If it becomes a trefa after you shechted, the animal's kosher, like we said over back in the third parak. How do we know when it becomes a trefa? Good, that's a wonderful question, right? The Gemara you know, earlier try to give us some basic rules, right? Comparison. Okay, but anyway, but lo, ima mart be behema tamei shelo haisala shasa kosher, tamar betrefa shaisala shasa kosher. So the Gemara says, well, I know the basic difference between a trefa and a behema tamei. Behema tamei was never permitted. A behema trefa of a kosher animal was permitted, but then it became a trefa. So it's different. So the Gemara says, so the Mishnah continues. Good, it's different. Tol lecha mashe vesa. Good. So I'll tell you what. That's the distinction you want to make. Let's go with your distinction, but let's not go past your distinction. Meaning, hareisha nolta trefa min abeta minayin. Let's say it's a trefa congenital. It was born with a pathology of a trefa. And now what do you want to tell me? Now what's the difference between this animal and a behema tamei?
The third category, though.
Well, so the Gemara says, lo. Im amart behema tamei shekein ein bemina shchita. Tomer betrefa sheyesh bemina shchita. So the Gemara says, okay, now what we could do, and this is what you were trying to do, is now we're going to do is we're going to make categories. Meaning, we're going to make the category of trefa, we're going to make a category of behema tamei. And why are there two different categories? Very simple, because when it comes to behema tamei, you can't eat it, period. Meaning, it's a species of animals you cannot eat. When it comes to a trefa, even if it's congenital, but at least it's coming from a species of animals that you can eat. So the Gemara says, ben shmona chai en shchita matarasa. So the Gemara says, okay, and we're talking about categories, so how about this? Let's consider now the following. Let's consider a baby now did not come to full term, but the baby actually made it to 8 months. The Gemara consistently has the following assumption. Anything that went 8 months is not viable. It may come out, breathing, circulation, but it's simply not viable. We consider that to be like he's dead. And that's true for humans, it's true for animals. This is the Gemara's consistent assumption. We, of course, halachically do not assume that nowadays, but back Bizmana Mishnah and the Gemara, so this is a reality, a natural reality that they had. And so therefore, let's say the baby comes out 8 months. So therefore, that means to say that it had no viability. Lefish ein bemino shchita. Since the 8 month gestated baby has no viability, and that's categoric. So therefore, the shchita is not going to be metaret. Now, obviously, what the Mishnah is doing is providing a tremendous chiddush, because I could have said, I understand that it's not viable, but in terms of a category, why are we giving it its own independent category? Shouldn't it fit under the category of, how is that different than the congenital trefa? Right, the congenital trefa, but it's coming from a species that can be eaten. Over here, the eight month gestated baby is not part of that same category, and it's its own separate category. But the Mishnah says it. The Mishnah doesn't balk. By the way, the Mishnah actually is giving it its own category, and admittedly, it represents its own chiddush and certainly its own category. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Gemara, just in terms of a recap. So we had the halachas of Rabbah of Tumah Blua Tahara Blua, the sources of Tumah Blua Tahara Blua in terms of where we see this in its makaros. We learned together Mishnayos and Mikvos actually demonstrating Tumah Blua and Tahara Blua by the case of the ring. The chiddush of Rabbah, in addition to the Mishnah, is that inside of you, I was going to say in utero, but it could be even the GI tract. Inside of you, there is simply zero transmission of tumah. Even if they're there at the same time, there is simply no transmission of tumah from one item to another. That's the chiddush of Rabbah. We went over this morning on machlok between Rabbi Kivin and Rabbi Shmuel, whether we subscribe to the tumah blua or we do not subscribe to tumah blua. Rabbi Shmuel does. What about the chaya who put her hand in? How come she's tumah? That's gzera midrabbanan. We went over the back and forth between Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Shmuel in terms of the Makoros of how they learn out the Pesukim. And finally, the limb that is outside of the fetus, the limb of the fetus that's outside of its mother during the Shechita. And the mother was Shechtin. So is the limb outside, is it going to be a Nevela or is it going to be a Trefa Shechuta? Machlokis in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. Rabbi Meir says it's a Nevela. Chachamim say it's a Trefa Shechuta. And the back and forth in the dialogue that we received, and as a bonus, we got also in the Mishnah today, the basic halacha, that if you shecht a trefa, it in fact is not going to be a nevela. And how do we know this? And what's the difference between that versus the behemah tamei? And we saw all that in the Mishnah this morning.